Good morning, everyone, and welcome to chapel this morning. It's Spiritual Life Week, and I'm excited to see everyone here. We have Leonard Dow with us this morning in chapel. Yes. You should have received, pink or salmon-colored schedule of events. Keep that on hand. There's a lot of things going on in the next couple of days related to Spiritual Life Week. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched, and he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome."
Pastor Leonard Dow hails from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where he has been pastor at Oxford Circle Mennonite Church, our home church, for 13 years. In 2009, Pastor Leonard was appointed as bishop of the Lancaster Conference Philadelphia District. He graduated from EMU in 87 as a business major and was in banking for about 10 years until he came to his senses and became pastor.
It was here at EMU that Leonard met the love of his life, Dr. Rosalie Roland Dow, professor at the University of Delaware, and together they had three children, Carmela, Marcella, and Lorenzo. Please join me in welcoming Pastor Leonard Dow.
Amen. First, let me apologize for bringing the graffiti of Philadelphia to the campus. I don't know if you've noticed, but my name and this whole thing is written all over the ground up here. I felt quite at home. I appreciate that. Over the last couple of years at Oxford Circle Mennonite Church, we've been taking seriously the biblical mandate to be fruitful and multiply. Our young families are having babies, lots of babies. We have children we have about 35 to 40 children under the age of 6. They're like cockroaches. They're just everywhere. And the names of these children are of interest. There's Noah, there's Isaiah, Moses, there's all these biblical names, Benjamin, Selah, Caleb, Josiah, Jeremiah, Hoshea, Jacob, Matthew, Lazarus, Trinity, Malachi, Christian. And my favorite is Nevaeh, which is heaven spelled backwards. The parents take seriously the naming of their children, being it the biblical narrative or being it from the family tradition. All of you have names that your parents have given you. And it took very serious. In fact, when you're having children, one of the things you don't do is people want to know, what are you going to name your child? You don't tell them because one reason you don't do that is because you don't want to see people go, "Ooh, that's a bad name." We all have names that were given to us by our parents or grandparents that represent some discerning, some sense of identity they were seeking to place on you. The seriousness comes from the fact that many of us, in the naming of our children, we're seeking to pass on a legacy. My son's name is Lorenzo, and in Spanish that means Lawrence, and that's my father's name who has passed away. I'm trying to pass on a legacy so that when I'm gone, he will pass it on. Our names are serious business. In fact, there are certain names you do not hear. How many of you know someone named Judas? There's no Judas here, is it? Or Jezebel. You don't hear those names because there's a negative connotation based on the name without even knowing the person. So names are very important. The importance of naming isn't limited to our first name, but it can be extended to our last names. Now I'm going to start messing. Our last names play an incredible important role in how people will interact with us or don't interact with us. Think about some of the names in our world today. Rockefeller. When you think of Rockefeller, you think of cha-ching. When you think of Hilton, you think of parental controls on your website. Some of you over the age of 30 don't get it, but you're in college, you know what I'm talking about. When you think of the name Kennedy, you think of power. You think now of the name of Obama, you think of power. There are names that go along that automatically, upon hearing that name, we recognize something about them or assume. I went to Christopher Dock Mennonite High School and went here to Eastern Mennonite. I began to recognize there are certain names that automatically create a buzz. I'm going to offend somebody, but that's all right, because I go back up to Philly on Friday. Longacre, Landis, Lapp, Rosenbergers, iced tea, Bergies, Moyers. They all had something that would go with them. Longacre was meat for me, or Landis was a supermarket, or Lapp was poultry. Yoder, Iowa. If we are honest, we, with ourselves, the names mentioned in the Mennonite context, it, maybe not as much anymore, but the whole Mennonite game, it meant something to have those names, and people would want to know you or seem to be more interested in you if you had that name to connect with. Maybe not. I think so. This morning, in my remaining time, I'm asking each of you to forgo your name, be it a good name or a bad name, to leave that name or that legacy or the assumptions that go along with it behind you for the next 20 minutes or so. This morning, I'm asking you to forgive, perhaps, or forgo your nicknames that people had given you. Just let them go for a moment. Because I want you to know that each of us, by God's grace, is being invited in our texts and throughout life by the Almighty God, first and foremost, to find out who we are in Him. That our name isn't only limited to our ethnic heritage or our name that people have given us, but God is interested in having you know who you are, young people, not based on what others say about you, but who and how God is speaking to you. God wants you to recognize He knows you by what? Okay, in the African American tradition, when you put out that pregnant pause, it's an opportunity for the congregation to respond. And they don't just respond, they respond in a very passionate way. So I'm going to do that pregnant pause again, and then I would like the response accordingly. Maybe if I go in my lecture voice, it will be a little bit more interactive. God has given each of us a
name.
Amen. Amen. For some of us here this morning, such an understanding where we depend first and foremost on God for our identity, depend first and foremost on God for our name, our understanding of hope and legacy is a frightening prospect. Pastor Leonard, if I'm stripped of my family name, stripped of the privileges that are associated with that name, who am I really? Where do I go if I'm in trouble, if I can't depend on my name or my network? Why am I here in the first place? Most of us dare not go there. For if we do go before God stripped of our name, we will have to wrestle with God as Jacob did in our passage. We will have to lean on the Spirit of God to really understand who I am. Because before we start talking about our call in life, we have to know who we are in God and who we are in Christ. In our text this morning and from Genesis, we find Jacob, a man who grew up depending on others for his name, for his identity, depending on the world to identify who he was and who he could be. You see, Jacob grew up in a culture where one's name went beyond mere words. In the Jewish culture, it was significant and honored and often is seen as an identifying marker of your personality by the name you're given. And the name Jacob literally means trickster. Or deceiver. That's what his name meant. Jacob, the younger of his twin brother Esau, you know, who was good looking and bold and had it going on. But Jacob was the trickster. All of his early life, Jacob heard the family stories that even in the womb, he and his brother Esau fought. All of his early life, he had heard the family stories that when they were born, it was Esau who was born first. He was born second. All of his early life, Jacob had heard how wonderful Esau was as a hunter, and Esau was just in the kitchen. Jacob was less than. all of his early life, upon hearing his name, he was brutally reminded that he was a liar, that he was a trickster, that he was a deceiver. So after a while, Jacob said, if that's what you're going to name me, I'm going to live that way. Can you imagine as a child growing up, only to hear every time someone called your name, the negative connotation that would go along with it? When I was younger, 11, 12, when I was younger, I used to have a belly, and I'm going back to that stage. So, but as a child, they named me Pudgy Ham Hocks. I dare one of you to say it. I haven't been Mennonite my whole life. And they would call me that, and after a while, I began to believe it. Thanks goodness I ran onto a basketball court and saw that the women liked guys who played ball, and the weight came down. But Pudgy Ham Hocks, that was my name. Jacob grew up believing what others said about him, and that he was a schemer, a plotter, a manipulator, a con man. And Jacob said, like so many of us, that if I'm going to be good, I'm going to be good at being the worst that I can be. So he tricked his brother Esau, he tricked his father Isaac, he tricked his uncle Laban, he sought to trick his brother Esau again earlier in chapter 32. He was just being himself. And then what was read, it says this: so Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. Verse 26, but Jacob replied, I will not go unless you bless me. Then the man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel. And Israel means he who struggles or wrestles with God, because you have struggled with God and with human beings and have overcome. God gave Jacob a new name. God gave Jacob a new identity. God said, the name that has been given you isn't, it may have been who you were, but it's not where and how God is going to move you moving forward. The name that you have, Jacob, is too limiting to what God would want to do. What about you? Young people, the name and even the privileges or disadvantages that come with your name isn't the total sum of who you are in Christ. I thought Dad would get an amen. You guys are going to make me beg. And God said to Jacob, no, you're not. You are who I say you are. Israel, you are a prince. You are a child of God. And you have the power to overcome all that has bound you. And young people today, I want you to hear, I've driven 5 hours down from the city of Philadelphia to say, I don't care what your name is. I don't care your first name or your last name. It will limit you. You want to be open to all the possibilities that in Christ that God can name you and release you. And everyone here has a purpose in a plan that God is desiring to speak into you and release you. The Bible says in Jeremiah 1, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I had set you apart. Joshua, upon sensing that his people had abandoned God in favor of idols, had said, but as for me and my house, we will what? Serve the Lord. Jacob wrestled with God, but in the midst of that wrestling, he found out who he was. Some of you might be saying, well, Pastor, that's all good, that's all well and good, but my name actually means something good. That might be your story, but that's not my story. My name has given me privilege, has given me opportunity, has given me those things that others cannot have because of my name. So obviously you're talking to those who really need to change their name. I don't want to change my name because it gives me what I need. I want you to know that you got to be careful of that because it limits what God can do in your life. When I was here at Eastern Mennonite University, I had a nickname. And my nickname was Dream. I'm not making this up. They called me Dream. And guess what? I liked it. I liked the prestige that came with it. I liked the power that came with it. I liked the buzz in the room when I walked into the class late. It was intoxicating. And I became that name in which people gave upon me because the name Leonard Dow had no currency here at Eastern Mennonite. But Dream did. in class at Leonard Dowell, no one stood and clapped and said, go. But in the game, when I played, I was the dream. People stood. That's intoxicating. So I became the dream, and I became my identity, and I sought to do that which would make that name more of who I was. And as a result, it really messed me up over a period of time, because dream doesn't flow too well up in Philly when you got a job. I'm Leonard Dowell again. One of my wonderful profs here, a business prof, spoke to me one time and said, Leonard, and I said, no, I'm the dream. He said, Dream or Leonard, unless you get your butt in class, you're not going to pass. The same passion you have on the court, I want that same passion in the classroom. I said, no, don't you understand? I'm the dream. Some of you have that same understanding or misunderstanding of your name and all the privileges that come with it. And I want you to know that in Christ, there's more than that limited worldview or understanding that you have of what your name can do. God is looking to do immeasurably more than all he can imagine, but he needs your heart, he needs your mind, he needs your soul. He doesn't need your name. For those of us or who seek to have their identity in Christ, this passage speaks. If your name hasn't, like Pudgy Ham Hocks, gives you a sense of shame, or if your name is like the dream that gives you a false sense of security, I'm here to tell you that God is asking you, before you're called, before you want to go wherever you want to go, God is asking for an appointment to wrestle with you, to find out who you truly are. At the heart of the matter. For those of us who have forsaken our identity in God and Christ for being, or be it the dream, the Rockefellers, the Kennedys, being in positions of power, privilege, or prestige, remember how Jesus speaks into this potentially prideful position of power and influence to the religious or the professionals. He said, no. Your position of power has nothing to do with the kingdom. To the family man who just wanted to desire to bury his father, he said, no, the time is now for you to come and follow me. To the rich man who had all the financial resources at his hands, Jesus said, give it all up and come follow me. Get a new identity in Christ. That invitation is still available and still being asked. Jesus said these things, leave all that you have known up to this point, and it has been incomplete, and what I can give you is so much more. Jesus says, follow me. Do not allow your religion or denomination to get in the way. Jesus says, follow me. Do not allow your wealth, your denomination, your education, your network, your career, your family, inheritance, any of that to get in the way. Jesus says, follow me, not your family name, not your family identity, good or bad. Do not allow what others have said about you on Facebook or Twitter to get in the way of following me. Jesus says, follow me. Do not allow Democrat, Republican define you. Do not allow Fox News or NPR to be the sum of who you are. Follow me. I am calling you by name. Why is Jesus so adamantly about letting go of our identity? Jesus grew up in the hood. He grew up in a nowhere place at a nowhere time called Nazareth. They say in the Gospels, they say, what good can come out of what? Nothing except the Son of God. That's pretty good. Jesus says, so he's telling us, don't be limited by what the world says. The Bible tells us this, that we are the head, not the tail, that we are above, not beneath, that we are more than conquerors, that we're part of a royal priesthood, that we are a peculiar treasure, young people, that we are citizens of a holy nation, ambassadors, a people belonging to God. And this could be potentially dangerous. So unless you want to stay exactly as you are, I would say, don't listen. Don't get up, because it would be really embarrassing for me. But if you want to change, if you want to really sense this, we're talking about call, listen to this. He says to you, young people, you are a chosen generation. Did you hear me? A chosen generation. In other words, you are the best that our God has to offer for this generation. In other words, when God was creating the world at the beginning and looking over the horizon of time, he said that a day is coming in 2011, a generation will need to stand in the gap, a time of bridging the gap between the secular and the holy, interceding on behalf of a hurting world and declaring hope found in Jesus Christ. You are it. You are it. You are the best plan that God had for this generation. Some of you are like, wow, that's messed up. On your own it is. Because we don't have enough resources. I don't care how much you want to help. We don't have enough time. We don't have the capacity. But in Christ, all things are possible. This is your destiny, young women, young men of God. This is your call. To the young woman here, look to God for your identity, not to the cover of Sports Illustrated. No longer do you have to try to live up to the lies of this age of substituting your body for your mind and for your spirit. To the young man, look to God who is trying to man you up, not in the sense of the secular world of taking everybody out, but in caring and peace and hope and patience. To the young people, Mennonites, who so desperately desire to do the work of Christ, this morning I'm reminding that in order for us to do the work of Christ, we have to have the Spirit of Christ, which only comes through the Holy Spirit, which only comes by having us identify Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives. Did you hear me? You can't do the work of Christ unless the Spirit of Christ dwells within you. Jacob, by God's grace, found in releasing, wrestling, there was a letting go, and he found himself free to receive all that God had in store for him. The question given to Jacob is the question I give you and leave with you this morning. What is your name? What is your identity? Who are you? I didn't ask where you come from or what you do, but who are you? Because upon answering that question, the calling that God has placed and desires for your life will fall into place. College is the time to wrestle with God. But on the other end of that, there's clarity and purpose. Marion Williams says this as I close. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, and I would paraphrase and say, it is the Holy Spirit, not our darkness that most frighten us. We ask ourselves, she says, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Did you hear me? You are a child of God. It is not this light. It is this light, the light of the Holy Spirit, that is available not just to me, but to each one. God's calling you. Are you going to avail yourself to listen? And accept the name that God desires to give you, which will then you can build your life, your purpose, and your dreams on. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, we have fallen into what I call the radical rock starism, where we want to be known for things that we do, and we want our names to be heard. And many of us, like the rich young man, value the name that was given to us more than the identity that we can be found in you, dear God. So many of us want to go change the world, and first, you're asking and did with Jacob before Israel became Israel. He wants to change our hearts and change our minds and thereby releasing us. So, Lord, I pray that this week, this time that we're dedicating to call, isn't only about where you're going. Let it begin with who we are, who these young people are in you. And we're going to trust that the same God that spoke in Genesis is the same God that's available today. As we just transition to a time of silence, which is hard in a world that's got so much activity, I would invite you to, where you're at, just begin to silently reflect or ask God, who am I? Not mom, dad, or grandma, but who am I, Lord?
Thank you, Leonard, for sharing. I hope we'll all be able to go and start thinking about who we are and what God is calling us to as individuals and as followers of Him. I invite you to join us in the Campus Center Greening Hall for hot chocolate and time to talk about what you've just heard. So thank you, and have a wonderful day.